Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Don't we normally walk through some stuff? Yeah, we do. Occasionally, I like to take a break from walking straight through stuff and do a topical, exegetical type of a thing. So that's what we're doing for some weeks here. We're going to start reading in verse 2 of chapter 3 and read all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. So if you're there, Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, it says this: look out for the dogs, look out for evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I had already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. I'm forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Kind of long passage. And, you know, when you introduce a passage that's probably pretty... How many of you are very familiar with the book of Philippians in this passage? Many of you have read it over and over and over again. That's great. And so you try to think of something memorable, right? Something that we want to grasp. And so in starting this series, I'm going to preach a chain, as so to speak, of messages. We're not going to go through the whole Bible, but we could. But with the idea of keep moving forward. I want to think about that just for a minute. Keep moving forward. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Yeah? Some of you have seen the movie, right? You've seen that movie? You're like, what? What movie is that? I don't often reference movies. I don't really like to because there's not much we can learn. But occasionally, we get surprised. We get movies that actually have a moral to them. They have a point. And there's one in particular. It's animated. But the point is... No, not Up. People are like, is it Finding Nemo? Oh, what is it? You know, wow, I have everybody's attention. This is awesome. Woo! No, it's called Meet the Robinsons. Have you ever read? Oh, yes, okay, all right. Now, Meet the Robinsons. And if you haven't seen it, It's one of those animated movies that will actually surprise you. It's got a really decent message to it. You know, it's not just about fun and games. It's not about princesses or anything else like that. It's about a boy who's quite odd. His mother left him at birth, and he has this penchant for science and invention and those types of things. And he is tricked or abducted into the future to save himself from one of his future inventions. But in this whole movie, there's all these failures. Every time this kid comes up to an obstacle, something goes wrong. Whether it's a Tyrannosaurus Rex or whether it's something, whatever, fixing a time machine. But his future family, which he doesn't realize that there is future family, they say, well, like we always say, just keep moving forward. And the whole thing is about, you know, when you fail, just keep moving forward. When you succeed, keep moving forward. And the same thing could be said that God wants us in our Christian lives, in this abundant life, in this eternal life that we live in the here and now, that we want to have a forward projection. We don't want to stay stagnant. We don't want to say, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and I'm just going to sit here. We want to keep moving. So, you know, it kind of builds on what we've talked about in the past concerning discipleship. Maybe it is that as we've entered 2016, you might have had, I hope you did, a goal to meet with people for discipleship. Whether it's for yourself or for you to help other people or kind of the mutual iron sharpening iron thing. Maybe that's the kind of forward moving that we need. In fact, I think we'll see that Paul talks a little bit about that here. But the idea, the strength of this passage, Paul writes from a position to a church that is, in many ways, under persecution. They're going through hard times. One of the main messages of the book of Philippians is to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And in the middle of what Paul is talking about, in the middle of telling this church, it was very, very prone to just, or it was in a dangerous place to just stop because things got hard or things got tough or whatever. Paul is telling these people, keep moving forward. So let's see what Paul says exactly here. He says, first of all, he says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who are who mutilate the flesh. And he's talking about those who are unbelieving Jews. They've placed a self-righteousness on themselves. They carry a certain weight to try to fulfill the demands of the law in their own quote-unquote laws. And Paul writes here, and he says, look at him. And what he's saying when he says look, it's like he picks this little model of a Jew up and he says, look at the evildoers. Okay? Now why does he say evildoers? Because they proclaim righteousness. Look at the dogs. What are dogs? Dogs were considered unclean, just nasty creatures. Here these people are unholy. He says, look at these who are mutilators of the flesh. They do things in their own work to try to be righteous when what they really need to be is truly righteous. Look at these people. Take them for an example, he says. Look at them and look how they're stuck. They never get an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, like we've talked about in 1 John. They just pour on the weight. They burden each other down with more law and more law. And it seems like, though they're somewhat happy, that they're just running themselves into the ground. I'm hoping that doesn't describe you this morning. Stuck. Piling on weight of burden. Trying to be righteous in your own power. That doesn't work. It leads to spinning your wheels, so to speak. It leads to going nowhere in Christ. But we want to have a forward projection. We want to move to Christ. And so Paul contrasts who they were, unholy, unrighteous, religious workers, by who we are. He says here, for we are the circumcision. What does he mean by that, circumcision? We are separated to Christ. That's what he means. We are separated from the world by our relationship with Christ. He says, we worship by the Spirit of God. He says, we are those who put no confidence in our flesh. All right, so let's look at those really quick. When he says we are separated, or we are circumcision, okay? The Greek and the Hebrew words behind circumcision are a cutting off, a separating. We are separating. First, Peter talks about this idea, and he says, Peter says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Wow, that's a pretty tall order. How in the world am I supposed to be holy? Well, the main idea behind holiness is set apart, to be different, to be like God as God is holy. That's what Peter says that we should do. That's what God has told Peter to write for us. And Paul writes the same. Look, he says, we are those of the circumcision. We are the ones who have been separated to Christ. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you are separated to Him. And that's just a fact. And it's this relationship that we have with Christ being separated that allows us to continue to move forward. He says, we are the ones with the Holy Ghost here. He says, who worship by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 9, Paul says here, he says, you, however, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He's talking about this power that each one of us have within us called the Spirit of God. And He is the one who enables and enlivens, what's the word here, quickens us to move, to have this direction. Before, we were stuck, right? Look at the Jews, he says. Now look at who we are. And he says, we are also those, we do not put confidence in the flesh. It was very fitting that Jeff read Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Because when it comes to who we are, when it comes to our position in Christ, there's nothing that we can do. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, not of anything that we can do fleshly, lest any man should boast. So, if we're going to move forward, Paul says, look here, look at the Jews and see how they're stuck, and look where they're, now look at yourself. He says, understand these truths of who you are. And then what Paul does is he goes on and he shows himself as an example. Paul does this all the time. Paul is a very, very transparent person. It's like he says, here, let me show you what I'm made of. And all of a sudden, he goes back to his failings, and he goes back to what he considered successes. That's what I want us to look at today, our failings and even our successes. So Paul says, look, if anybody has anything on anybody, it's me. He says, I have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day. What does that mean? What he's trying to say, I have followed the law as best of my ability, better than anyone else I know, he says. Circumcised the eighth day. His parents followed the law. He says, of the people of Israel, I have the right people of the tribe of Benjamin. I even know my tribe. We talked this morning in the adult Sunday school class. If you want some more education, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of good time in there. We're talking about Revelation and the tribes and different things. And we know that there were three tribes, right, that could actually trace their lineage. Judah, Levi, and Benjamin. That's right. Everybody's listening to Sunday school this morning. That's good. Did you listen to Sunday school today? Okay. Anyway, that's what happens when my son sits in the front row, by the way. All right. Where was I? Keep it moving forward. Oh, Paul uses it himself as an example. That's what we're doing. All right. So he was a tribe of the Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So we have this kind of saying, you know, a man's man. Okay, what does a man's man look like, right? He's the guy that carries the big 12-pound sledgehammer with one hand, you know, walking around, and he's a man's man, right? Throws the it'd have to be a short roof for me. That's right. Anyway, here's this. Paul says, he says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If anybody is going to be something, it's going to be me. He says, as concerning the law, he says, I'm a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is, right? A Pharisee is somebody who not only followed the law, the Torah, and the writings and everything, to the T, they made up their own law so that they would not even come close to disobeying that law. So they've made laws about their laws to keep them away from sinning, right? And they've made these laws mandatory for everybody. They try to force people into these laws when God says, here, this is what you need to do, and they say, well, we're going to do this too. That's a Pharisee. Okay, these are very zealous, very, very disciplined people. In fact, I was taught that when a Pharisee gets out of bed in the morning, they always hit with the same foot first, and they say a prayer. They run their other foot down. They say another prayer. The first thing they do in the morning is ceremonial washing. Okay, that's what they did. Very disciplined, started the same way, ate the same kind of thing every day, said the same kind of prayers every day, did the same religious duty every day. Very disciplined people. Okay? As concerning the law, he says, I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, he says, I was a persecutor of the church. I carried this stuff so far that I persecuted the church. I went out there and I put people in prison. I delivered them to the magistrates. People probably even died. Well, people did die under Paul's authority. Do you remember in Acts that Paul was the one standing there with the coats while Stephen was martyred? Very zealous, persecuted under the right, as to the law, unrighteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gain, he said, whatever I had, I counted that loss for Christ. All right, let's just think about this. Okay, none of us here, I hope, are Pharisaical. right? None of us here have the pedigree, right? Or do we have any people with a pedigree? No? Okay, good. None of us are like that. And if you are, I'm sorry I missed you. It's okay. But the point being is we still fall into these types of traps with our own spirituality. You ever been there? Yep. 3 years ago, I went on a missions trip to Jamaica. It was beach ministry. And we saw 50 people got saved that day. And I don't tell you about anything else for the next 15 years except for that one time. Because he's stuck. Now, is it great that people go out and they do stuff like that? Yes, it's good. But what? We don't necessarily dwell on it, do we? That's a success. Paul's talking about his successes here. And really, these are failures, but he's calling them successes because that's how he viewed them. Some people, now it's a good thing, try to understand what I'm communicating here, okay? Some people, all they do is dwell on their salvation. That's it. They never grow beyond Christ saving them. Now, it's a good thing for us to think about it. It's a good thing for us to remember it. But to stay there without growing, that's not moving forward. That's not a trajectory. It's because of our relationship in Christ. It's because of our salvation that we're able to move and to learn to be like Christ. We should not ever be stagnant, but we get there. We get comfortable. I mean, have you ever woken up? Some mornings are better than others, but when you wake up and for some odd reason, it's like your room is that perfect temperature, and your bed is just the perfect softness, and you got that little dip in your bed from breaking it in, and it's just nice and comfortable, and you know you've had enough sleep, but you really, it just feels so good. You just want to stay there. You've been there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Every day, all right. We can all get there in our own spiritual lives. I'm comfortable with where I'm at. You know, I read the Bible every day. I say hi to the same people every day. I say I have a list of prayers I pray for. But in all reality, I'm not moving anywhere. What does it mean for us to have a forward trajectory? You know, Paul, he lists these as his successes, but really he could even list them as his failures. How many people do you know that get stuck in their failures? You know, God will never really like me again because I did that. I know what you said about having that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, but I know that God's not going to accept me. There are people that live there because of some past failure. And that's not the case at all. Each one of us who names the name of Christ has the opportunity to keep moving forward. We can even take it to our church. You know, last spring, we talked a lot about discipleship, and we still try to talk about it. And maybe you had it in your mind that this is something that you're going to make a part of your life, but, you know, life happens. You just get busy, right? And it just doesn't happen. You ever been there? When things just don't happen, you just get busy or can't make time or you have other responsibilities and it just doesn't work out? Yeah, I've been there. But we don't just stop and give up. We keep moving forward. Look what Paul says And he goes through all this stuff, you know, and I'm going to kind of skip ahead here a little bit. He says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. So after Paul gives his own life example, and he talks about, you need to go home and study this, by the way, because I'm skipping ahead. But he talks about how worthy the life of Christ is and how he wants to know Christ more. This is the Apostle Paul, by the way. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, somebody he probably had the whole Old Testament memorized. If not all of it, he probably had a significant portion of it memorized. This is a man who acted righteously, even after he was saved. He still obeyed the law so that he would not offend people. He's a very disciplined man, very smart. Okay, one of the best minds in theology of his day. He was trained after Gamaliel. Okay, this man was awesome. Okay, he was a force to be reckoned with. And he says, what? I want to go toward Christ. I want to spend everything that I have, that I am, and get to know him better. And he says, this is how I do it. How do we keep moving forward? How is it? So I start in verse 12 here. So it's first of all, not that I have already attained or that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. What's he saying? He says, I know, I realize that I have got to move. Now, I'm not talking about moving away from sound theology or sound doctrine or anything like that, but moving toward Jesus Christ. I recognize that I just can't sit here. The Christian life is not meant to be lived out here on these pews, these chairs, okay? This meeting that we have here is us coming together to worship Christ together as a family for encouragement, for discipleship, for learning. That's what this is about. But the Christian life, eternal life, is not meant to be lived here. It's meant to be lived out there. And out there is where we need to move. Paul understands that need. He says, I know I haven't obtained this knowledge. I haven't obtained this perfect knowledge that I want. He says, in fact, he talks about, he kind of gives a point, talking about the resurrection and understanding that to the fullest extent. It kind of gives us the understanding that Paul says, you know I'm not going to make it. I'm not even going to make it until I die. I'm not going to experience everything that Christ did for me until I go through it. And he said, I want to know what Christ was all about. So in verse 12, he says, I know that I have to move. Number two, he says, starting in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Instead of focusing on either his past successes or his past failures, okay, it's okay for us to remember them, it's okay for us to learn from them, but what he's saying is, I'm not focused on that. I understand the need to move, number one, but number two, I'm going to focus on that prize. I'm going to focus on what it means to know Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep walking there. Verse 16, only let us be true to what we learned. There he says. So as he goes through certain issues, certain problems in his life, as he walks this discipleship walk with other people, as he walks and experiences this eternal life, he says, I do this. He says, I understand that I need to move. I quit focusing on where I've been, though I, number three, learn from where I've been. I'm not focused. I'm not living here. I'm not staying in the past, but I'm moving forward. I press toward. And the idea there when he says he's pressing toward the mark, it's not the idea that this is a cakewalk. It takes real work. Oh, the image just passed. You know, they have those strongman competitions, right? And they put these row of buses and they harness them all together, and then they have this one guy standing in the front of the bus with a harness on, and he presses. He's got a goal in mind, and what does he do? He gets going and he leans forward and he pulls all those buses. That's kind of pressing toward the mark. I have a focus. Nothing's going to hold me back. I'm not letting any of this stuff that I've already been through keep me there. He's going to take what I've learned. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to keep moving. Then, this is what I really like here. He says, brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. What does he say? Did I hear it? Discipleship, yes. There might be a day when I say, you know what? I don't know where to go next. I doubt it. I've gone as far as I can go by myself. Isn't that true in many professions? I've gone as far as I can go by myself. Now I need help getting to the next level. Right? Yeah. Same is true in Christianity. I need help. Sometimes I don't know which next step to take. I don't know how to keep going forward. And so he says, keep your eyes open for people, for me, what I do, how I live my life. Keep your eyes open for others that are doing the same, and do what? Imitate them. So what does that imply? It implies that Paul, or that these people with good relationships, good fellowship with the Lord, they're imitating each other, they're moving forward, and so that you should gain a relationship with some of those people that are around us and do some of the stuff that they, what do they succeed in their spiritual life? You know, there are certain people that are awesome when it comes to prayer. Simply awesome, because they take the time, their relationship, their fellowship is with God is just real, and it's like, what are they doing that I'm not? You know, there's you know, some people have amazing study habits, they go through books and stuff all the time. What are they doing that I'm not doing? What are they doing that I could do better? Maybe it is that you know somebody who's a great evangelist, somebody who's always out there and is able to really talk to people and able to get them to that place where they get to make that decision for Christ or against Christ. What are they doing? How can I do that? How can I press for? Because you know, those are some of the hardest things for us to do. How can I continue to press forward? Well, find people who are moving in the same trajectory and imitate them. Gain their relationship. Work with them. This is from the one who needs work to going moving forward. You work with them. This is not from the standpoint of here you're moving, so get the people behind you and keep coming. This is kind of a different aspect of discipleship. This is a person who needs discipling, recognize, hey, I'm standing still here, I need to start moving. Oh, they're moving, let's go see what happens. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And he says, there are those that don't. He says, this is what happens to the people who get stuck, he says. For many of whom I have often told you and tell you, now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. That's what happens when you get stuck. You get the earthly mindset. You get stuck on what you want. Your God is your belly, he says. But, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. And he says, stand firm. You might be looking at me thinking, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You just said our goal is to keep moving forward, right? Yep. And Paul says, stand firm. This is standing firm in Christ does not mean not moving. Okay? Standing firm here means resolute in his focus on Christ. He's not wavering from the right side or the left. Get my lefts and rights right here. He's not wavering. He's not looking around. He's focused on who Jesus Christ is. He knows he needs to move. He's not focused on those things that are behind, whether they're successes or failures. He's not going to let them hold them back. He's going to press toward the mark of the high cause in Jesus Christ. He's looking around for people to imitate. He's looking for people to walk with him in this journey. And he's being resolute in it. He's not going to let anything distract him. He has that mind. And I missed one point here. In verse 15, I'm gonna go back to this. It says, let those of us who are mature think this way. Let those of us who are mature think this way. What way? Well, we just got done talking about. Those of us who are mature, what level? What level is mature? It's a trajectory. Let's think, those of us who are listening to this, those of us who want to go somewhere, those of us who want to be perfected in Christ, those of us who are mature, some of us, sometimes we've already made some progress. Let's keep moving forward. Good. All right. So we're going to study this idea of a trajectory. Under the theme, keep moving forward. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I'm stuck. I've been stuck for a while and it's bothering me. And I want to move forward. I can't do this by myself. You know, we have people here that want to meet with you, that want to pray with you. I'm going to ask them to stand. If you're on the prayer team and you want to pray with people, you want to help people move, would you stand up for me so people can see who you are? And those of you who are elders, you want to stand up so people can see who you are? There are some people, this is just some people, okay? You guys can be seated, thank you very much. These are some people who will pray for you. There are lots more. There are lots of mature Christians in here who love to pray for you. Let me encourage you, okay? If you need somebody to pray with you, pray for you, talk to somebody, don't be afraid, even during this last song that we sing in worship in response, don't be afraid to go grab one of those people or grab the person next to you that say, hey, you look, yeah, come on, pray with me. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid don't be afraid to respond to Christ. We're going to sing together. After I pray, we're going to sing together. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to look at you like, I wonder what they've got going wrong. That's not the case at all. We, as a family, want to see each other succeed in Christ. We want to see each other move toward this trajectory. And if you want somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. I'm sure Eunice would pray with you. But don't just say, you know, I'm not going to, don't let uncomfortableness, I don't know if that's a word, don't let that bother you. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let it stick you back there. Keep moving forward. Will you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you as people who need to consider our trajectory. From time to time, we all get stuck. We all plateau. We all spin our wheels. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to recognize when we're there. Recognize what it is we need to do. And I know that it's different for everybody. We could be stuck in sin. Lord, help us. Forgive us. We could just be stuck in complacency. Lord, help us to recognize. Help us not to be satisfied with where we are, but to continue to have a hunger that drives us forward for you. And I pray that you would give each one of us here today that hunger, that thirst for you. You are the one who provides the living water. God, we just thank you so for what you've done for us. We thank you for the messages that you've given us throughout the scriptures. And I pray that this would be a time where each one of us here this morning will become resolute, become mature in our thinking, that we want to move forward for you. In Jesus' name, amen.